So I freaked out this week. I ran into an old friend. I hadn't seen him in about 6 months. And he and I have always had a very complicated relationship, okay? Here he is. And even though I hadn't seen him in 6 months, one of us had really grown over that time. And I don't know if this has ever happened to you when you haven't been on the scale in a long time, and that number completely shocks you. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking, but it wasn't that number, you know? And it was 15 pounds in 6 months. And I thought, how did that happen? Like, that's a big difference. 15 pounds is a big difference. And I started thinking through, what did I do? Because it wasn't a big thing that made a big difference. So that night, I was up all night. Really. I was thinking, what happened? How did that work? Did Una scale? Was it wrong? You know, and she assured me it was right. And I started thinking, it wasn't big things necessarily. It was a lot of small things that made a big difference. So I started thinking about the small changes in 6 months. Let me introduce you to the most cheesy, wonderful snack there is. So over the past 6 months, I've added about a cup or a larger bowl than that to my diet every day. Even though I had snacks and had the proper amount, I'd be like, oh, let's watch TV. What would I say? Why don't you run down and get me a bowl of Cheez-Its? That's one of the things. Another thing is, you know, we're a wrestling family. And we used to just get chicken wings for the very good pay-per-views, like the ones we look forward to two or three times a year. But every pay-per-view, we've been getting chicken wings now. So that could be it. And I love cheese. Small pieces of cheese, but a lot of pieces of cheese. And the holidays brought about a lot of cheese that we partake in. And then I was thinking through my workouts. It's not that my workouts have really changed. I do enjoy working out. It's just they've kind of slowed down a little bit in intensity, but it could be because I'm carrying around 15 extra pounds to my workout. Small things over the course of 6 months made a big difference in my weight, because as our series says, small things, big difference. And that could be either good or that can be bad, right? And many of you, after week one, Buck, you already talked about this, you had your one word, right? God gave you that word. And some of you were like, before I even prayed, the word just bombarded me. It just came into my head. And some of you said, God gave me the word 3 weeks prior. I already had the word, and I already knew the word that I needed to work on. And here are some of the words that have been flying around. Patience, self, kindness, joy, gentleness, salvation, endurance, diligence, forgiveness. I also heard health. I also heard prayer. These are some of the words I heard. So you ask God for a word. He delivered it because that's the kind of God he wants. He wants you to draw closer to him, so he's going to take advantage. If you're asking him for a change in your life, he's going to say, bamboo, here you go. Here's your word. And then hopefully you attached a verse to it because it needs to be God-breathed. It needs to be powered by God. It needs to come from him. So if you can't find something in God's word to match it, most likely it's probably not a God-directed thing that he wants you to do. All right, so you found that, you put a word to it. Last week, Bucky talked about thoughts, right? So you put a thought to it, you matched it. And I am sure that you now, with this word God's given you, it has come up more than once, right? Like, I'm sorry for those who got patience. I know a few of you got patience, right? I know you have been challenged with patience, and then you've looked up like, patience, you know that word's come. For me, gentleness has been tough because there's been many times I wanted to be the very opposite of gentleness. For instance, the Keneally's and us went out to dinner on, Wednesday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, and our waitress right away was mean. I mean, mean. And at that point, I didn't want to be gentle. I wanted to be like, you're ruining Chris's birthday. I wanted to tell her exactly what I thought. But instead, gentleness came to mind, and by the end, she was giving us free brownies. I mean, it was amazing how that word, not Chris, gave me free brownie, but it's amazing how that word worked in that situation. So now you're working your word and you're changing and it feels good. And last week, Bucky said, now we got to work on changing our thoughts, because it's okay to say you want to do that word, but you got to change the way you think about it, right? Because thoughts is where it all gets fueled, because our thoughts are going to influence our words, and our words are going to influence our actions, and our actions are going to become habits, and our habits are going to form character, and our character is our life. So you change your thoughts, you're changing your life. And this week, we're talking about the power of words. Not just that one word, a whole lot of words. Because when our thoughts become words, it changes our lives. My freshman year in high school, all right? That's not really me, but that's what I looked like, okay? My freshman year in high school was great socially. Socially, it was really good. But academically, not so good, okay? So many of you know my upbringing. I don't need to lay it all out. But you know, I grew up in a family where my mom was an alcoholic all the time. All the time. From morning till night, she was drinking. I grew up in a house where she was clinically depressed too. So she was not available to me for any type of emotional, spiritual, academic support. She was really not there. So at a very young age, I learned I had to do everything for myself. So when school got tough, my mom was not in the picture to help with any type of homework. That's why I really love this tutoring program, okay? Shout out to the tutoring program. So by freshman year, socially great, academically, pretty much all Fs, really, truly. And I did not have a very good relationship with my teachers either, because I was the class clown. So I irritated my teachers. Classmates loved me, but my grades were completely horrible. And it came that time of year when you meet with your guidance counselor at the end of the year, and they look at your grades, and then they pick your classes for the next year, which I just assumed we're going to retake freshman year. So I headed to the guidance counselor's office that day, and she looked at me, and she sat down, and she looked at the assessment test. I don't remember what they called them in New York, but you know, like ISET, NEOA, PARC nowadays, looked at the assessment test. She goes, when I look at your assessment test, I see a very smart person. When I look at your grades, I see someone totally different. But when I look at here, I see a smart person. Now, she might have thought that those words would have hurt somebody. To me, it was the greatest compliment I had ever received in my life. She called me smart. I had never been called smart. I'd been called smart, you know, but not smart, ever. My mom, it wasn't a written rule, but it was an understanding. Girls, you look good, you act dumb, you go far. That was my mom's rules of the house. So for this person to say, you're smart, but this doesn't show it, it changed my life. I never forgot it. And so what I wanted was that feeling again. So I vowed, not out loud, but in that chair, as I said, I vowed next year when I'm sitting in this guidance counselor's office, she's going to be like, you're smart here, you're smart here, you're such a smart girl, Carrie. That's what I wanted from her. I wanted her to say that. And I tell you, I stand before you, the last three semesters of my high school career, straight A's. Not one, even B. Words are powerful. They're so powerful. I bet you remember the best thing that was ever said to you. The kindest thing. The thing that you overthought over and over again, or even wrote down or laid in bed and replayed it. But I also think that you remember the worst thing that was ever said to you. The thing that changed you or made you cringe or made you ask people, is that really who I am? Or you really wore that for your whole life thinking, those words define who I am. Words are powerful. Look at God, what happened when he spoke words from Genesis 1. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light, just a spoken word, and bam, right? And he said here, then God said, let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth, and that is what happened. Powerful words that spoke creation. Solomon, the man who asked God for wisdom, the wisest man to ever live on this earth apart from Jesus Christ, who is fully God and fully man, in Proverbs 18:21 said, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Wisest man ever says that the tongue has the power of life and death. That's powerful words. That means our words can either be life-giving words or life-taking words. If you want to change the life you have, you got to change the words you speak. In fact, James, one of Jesus' half-brothers, he wrote about this concept of life-giving words and life-taking words thousands of years ago, the idea that a small thing can make a big difference. Look at what James 3 says. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go. And even though the winds are strong, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is the flame of fire. Small things, big difference. Look at the scripture. What size horse? Look at the beginning. What size horse is it?
Large.
It's a large horse. The largest breed of horse. I did not know this. I thought it was one of those Clydesdale horses. Yeah, thank you. It's not. It's a Shire horse. Look at that mammoth thing, right? It's next to a small donkey, but you get the picture, right? Right? Can weigh up to 2,400 pounds, this Shire horse. So when James says something like a big horse, this is the biggie I'm picturing, right? And James says, you can make this large horse go wherever you want it to go by means of what? A small bit. Small thing, big difference. A small bit right there can move a large horse. And then James talks about a ship because there's not a lot of animal lovers. Maybe you don't like animals and you want to relate to a different, you know, illustration here. So for you nautical lovers, which I know you're out there, he talks about a ship. What size ship does he talk about? A huge ship. Now, when I think huge ship, I picture a love boat, but that's me. I'm romantic. But really, back in those days, you know, maybe something like this. Maybe like a Viking ship, some wooden ship with a turn so pilot chooses to go eve. Okay, and a what size rudder?
Small.
A small rudder turns a huge ship, right? Small one, a small rudder can make a pilot choose which way to go, just a small little change, even if the wind is going strong. Small things can make a big difference. Now, James is painting this scene. He's getting you all prepped. He's like, oh, the power of just a small thing to make a big change. And then he talks about a thing like this. The tongue is a small thing, and yet it can make... There's the tongue. All right, that's a big tongue. That's more like Richard Simmons. Is it Richard Simmons? No, he's a workout guy. Gene Simmons has the tongue, right? Okay, so a small tongue can make a grand speech. A well-crafted speech can, by a small tongue, can move a crowd to do amazing things. And I think it's appropriate since tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, right? Think about his speech. Can you not listen to it without getting chills? You just get chills by it. And I have a very favorite line in his speech that I love. It says, I have a dream that my four little children and one will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Small tongue, grand speech can do great things. Words are powerful. Words can do great things. But the reverse is true as well. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, and among all the parts of the body, the tongue is the flame of fire. Wow. Forest fire is not a feel-good illustration, right? You think forest fire, you think bunnies and deers are running for their lives, right? It's not a good illustration. It shows the destruction that a tiny, tiny little thing like a word or a tongue can do. It's destructive. You can speak either life-giving words or life-taking words. You and I know the difference between the two. You see a marriage that is authentically strong, authentically loving and working, I guarantee you that they are exchanging life-giving words. You see a marriage that's fallen apart, that's having a really tough time, I guarantee you they are exchanging life-taking words. You have a friendship or a coworker or neighbors or siblings or teammates and it's really working, I guarantee you that they are exchanging life-giving words. You have a situation that is in trouble, it's horrible, walls are up, you don't want to be near it, I guarantee you they're speaking life-taking words. Proverbs 12:18 says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. pierce like swords, right? That's like the forest fire. Nothing good can come from being pierced by a sword, okay? It hurts. It's painful. It almost makes it feel like it's irreparable. Like you can't be healed from it, right? It implies a serious injury. And you can receive that serious injury or you can give that serious injury. And I am sure that every one of us has been pierced by a word before, by a sword before, a life-taking word. And you've been injured, right? You've heard you're not good enough. You've heard you're not pretty enough. You're not smart enough. You're a bad husband. You're a bad father. You're a bad wife, daughter, sister, son, brother, cousin, niece. You will never amount to anything. You will never be good as fill in the blank. That's a biggie in families. You will never be good as so-and-so. I wish you were never born. You're stupid. You're a failure. These are life-taking words that pierce and injure. And they can be so painful, right? By a small thing like a tongue, a spoken word can make a big, painful difference. It pierces. It burns. But look what the opposite is. The tongue of the wise brings healing. It's life-giving. You know, that high school guidance counselor, I love to tell you that it started a beautiful relationship between her and I, but that wasn't the purpose of what her word was to me that day. The next year when I came in with straight A's, I was expecting, I don't know, balloons, fanfare, cake? I don't know, smartest girl ever, plaque? I don't know what I was expecting. She didn't even remember our conversation. But it's okay, because that conversation was for that time to take me to a place that I needed to go. Those life-giving words were for that time. She didn't even realize she said it. She didn't even realize she changed my life. And you have some friends that give life-taking words all the time. They bring healing because their phones ring off the hook, right? It's a time when you've been wounded or you're hurt and you're like, I just need to call someone right now. That is the person, and I got to receive some life-healing words. Words can be so healing. We have many people in our church who just have the gift of giving life-healing words, and I go to them. Proverbs 15:4a says, the soothing tongue is a tree of life. I love trees. I really do. So I love this illustration. I picture a tree like this. Just so, wouldn't you like to live that? Park your car next to that tree and watch it bloom? Soothing. Words can be soothing. It can be like a tree of life. You blossom. You grow. You meet your potential because these words just fill you. They're healthy. They're soothing. They're life-giving. They lift you up. They maybe tell you the truth of who you are in Jesus Christ. They tell you the truth that you are loved and valuable. They speak truth that you are created by God, their creator, and he doesn't make junk. They speak to you, and they bloom you, and they fill you with life. But there's an opposite part to that verse. The perverse tongue, or the NLT calls it the deceitful tongue, crushes the spirit. Same thing with spear, same thing with forest fire. A perverse tongue can crush your spirit. And I picture this tree, going from that blooming one to the Charlie Brown tree. And think about it. Think about it. I love the Peanuts, but I hate how they treat Charlie Brown. Yeah. You blockhead. Or you're, I don't think they say stupid, or you're gullible, you're a loser. Even the tone, oh, Charlie Brown, shows disappointment on Charlie. You're a failure. And no wonder he had a tree like this, right? It brought down. It's crushed. The spirit is crushed. Piercing, crushing, life-taking words. Words are powerful. We get it, right? We get it. And hopefully, you and I know I have. You've been blessed by life-taking, giving words. I'm proud of you. How much does that speak to you when someone tells you they're proud of you? Or that was amazing. Or you're the best wife in the world. I'm not the best wife in the world, but I hear that like 8 times a day, okay? And that speaks to my heart, right? I'm thankful that God put you in my life. You're the funniest person ever. Best compliment ever, all right? Or I can't imagine life without you. You have a beautiful smile. You're so talented. I love to see you sing. You know, kids love you. That you tell your kids what you like about. I love to watch you draw. I love to see how your mind works. I love to watch you play basketball. I love to watch you play football. I love to watch you do math. Kids need to hear those words. I love you. I miss you. Life-giving words are healing and soothing. So the question, we like to receive life-giving words. But how often do you give life-giving words? You have a handout. If you want to fill it out now, you can, or you can take it home. There is a little evaluation, kind of like you did last time. How often do you speak life-giving words? And you know what? It's going to be like a 10. Sometimes you're going to have like a 10 with your mom or your dad or maybe a good friend. And maybe you're down like a 2 for somebody you have a hard time with or somebody, a stranger that's mean to you. How often do you speak life-giving words? Rate yourself. And you may want to do a separate sheet of evaluating different people, your marriage, your kids, your coworkers, your neighbors, etc., etc., etc. How often do you speak life-giving words? Now, how often do you speak life-taking words? Again, this could be all different categories of people. Are you critical? Do you try to zing or offend on purpose? Get the last word in? Are you deceitful? Do you use perverse talk, manipulative talk, condescending talk, discouraging talk, accusatory, judgmental? Rate yourself there. There you want to be a 1. You don't want to be a 10. All right? And then think through your last week. Last week, did you speak more life-giving words as a whole, or did you speak more life-taking words? So you're going to evaluate yourself on that and be honest. No one's going to see it. We're not going to post it. This is for you to be honest with yourself about this because we're learning to change our words in order to change our life. And now I want to talk to life-taking words to yourself. All right? This is hard because you have to think about this, okay? Our minds are always going. Some of you audibly talk out loud and people think you're crazy and some of you just keep it to your head, but our minds are always crazy. Are your words to yourself more life-giving or more life-taking? Do you say more life-taking words to yourself like life-taking words like you're going to blow this? Oh, you're not so good. That person wants to get away from you from talking to you. They've been talking too long to them. You sound like an idiot. You look horrible today. Everything in your life goes bad. Everyone in your life turns their back on you. Things never work out. I never get a break. If this is how you talk, mark your number higher that you're kind of taking a lot of life-taking words to yourself. And we do it without realizing because we don't think it's a sin when we do it to ourselves. We think it only when we do it to other people. On the other hand, you speak life-giving words to yourself. Do you say things like, God is with me? God's going to bless this. God is so good. I'm so thankful for this day. With Christ, I can do all things, who gives me strength. And if that is your normal self-talk, give yourself a little higher mark there. Give yourself a 10 if that's really how you do. But you can see on your assessment where you need improvement. Even without marking it down, we know. Whether it's we need to start speaking more life-giving words to ourselves, or more life-giving words to other people. If you want to change your life, you got to change your words, right? So here's 2 rules, because I want to be practical for us today. Here's a rule. If you can't say anything helpful, skip it. Those of you who struggle with some sarcasm may have a little problem here and go through a little withdrawals. Or if you feel the need to have to correct people for the sake of correcting or get your last word in, you're going to feel like you are talking about a third less than you normally do, which is what I experienced this week. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that they may benefit those who listen." If we do not have anything good to say, we have to shut our mouths, right? If it's not helpful, if it's not beneficial, and Bucky preached on this a couple months ago, we keep our mouths closed. Do you imagine what that would do to all your relationships if we did that? If we just... said, I want to be critical, but I don't do it. I want to do a zing because you just zing me. Do you imagine what a difference it would make in our relationships? Think about your posts on social media. If everything was encouraging, if nothing was a zing, if nothing was zinging somebody else for being weird, it would be different. Your family reunions would be different. People might be quiet at family reunions if you have nothing good to say, right? If you don't have anything helpful to say, skip it. Second rule, if you think of something good to say, say it. Proverbs 16:24 says, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Solomon, the wise guy, he doesn't say gracious thoughts. Just thinking good thoughts aren't going to cut it here. He's saying, say it. Don't just think it. Say it. Nice things to people are healing and soothing things. And Cinder, I got to point you out here today. I didn't ask your permission, but I'm going to go ahead. So Cinder was in the hospital this week, as many people know, okay? And I was with her several visits. And do you know, even in the midst of her being in very, very bad shape, she's throwing compliments out all over the place. I mean, I can't keep up with the compliments. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for doing your job. Thank you for being so nice to me. She is in a very bad health stage, and she is throwing compliments all over town. I would not have been throwing compliments that your hair looks nice when I can hardly open my eyes because I'm feeling so uncomfortable. But that's what Cinder was doing. Life-giving words. When she thinks them, she says them. How would this world be different if every time we thought them, we said them? You may be doing some amazing healing in people's lives by saying those words. I know, Cinder, you blessed lots of people in Evanston Hospital because you did not keep your words quiet. You blessed them even when you didn't feel like very good at all. That was a powerful illustration this week for me, and I thank you for that. Don't be quiet about it. You think something gracious, you say it out loud. When David was going through a tough time too, let's turn to our own words about speaking good things to ourselves. David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters. I would be too. And then they began to talk of stoning him. But David found strength in the Lord his God. I think at this time, David could have started saying things. I'm a failure. I'm doing so bad. This is going to end up horrible. I'm going to be stoned. But it says that he found strength in the Lord. I believe he was feeding himself life-giving words from God. Because 1 Samuel 36, the KJV says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I think he gave himself a pep talk based on who God is, right? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm going to trust God. These are words you need to speak to yourself. I am going to have a great marriage. I am going to live godly at college. I am going to believe that God is going to do a major work in my life. I believe that God is not done with me, but he's going to bring me to perfection through Christ Jesus. I believe that I can fight this sin. These are the words that we need to speak to each other and to ourselves that are life giving words. People don't finish marathons by saying I'm fat and lazy over and over again. They just don't, okay? People don't go to college by saying I'm stupid over and over again. Marriages don't get better by saying it's never going to be good. It just doesn't happen. So week one, God gave you a word, and I believe it's all going to be tied in of this upcoming year. And last week, Bucky said, make it into a thought. Well, now you have to speak it into a statement. It can't just resonate in your head. It's great that you're changing your mind, but now it has to go down to a statement that you are going to live by this year. For instance, over and over again, I'm going to tell you, my word is gentle, okay? My thought is, will this be life-taking or life-giving? Because gentle is about my words. So before I say it, my thought is going to be, am I giving life to this or am I taking life away? Am I going to be that sword or that forest fire or am I going to be that blooming tree? And that's going to be my thought. And then my statement is going to be, my words will be life-giving. And hopefully, I will say this over 1,000 times this year, my words will be life-giving. So now you need to come up with your statement. You have your word. You have your thought. What's going to be your statement? And you can add in Jesus' name, through the power of Jesus, with all things possible with God. You can add a statement to the end of it to give it a real zing to it. You can do that, okay? So you can add that. I want to keep mine short and simple so I did not forget it. If you change your words, you're going to change your life. It's another small step that's going to make a big difference. Don't speak life-taking words to others or to yourself. Speak life-giving words to yourself and to everyone. You think it, you say it. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. But when God gives you that gentle thought about someone, heal them, soothe them. Like I said, that guidance counselor had no idea how she was going to change my life. And you have no idea whose life you're going to change by just saying the gentle thought that comes to your mind, then saying it. And I'm telling you, you do these small things, your life is going to be different. It's going to be big because we serve a big God. And it's going to be fantastic. And you're going to look back on 2016 and you're going to say, oh, what did I do with all those years prior? Because I am loving this. I am loving this changed life. Heavenly Father, thanks for this morning. Thank you for the power of words. I thank you for that guidance counselor. I don't even know her name, Father. But I thank you for the one kind word she spoke that changed my academic life. I thank you, Father, for the words that Northsiders have received through the years that directed them, maybe led them here. I thank you for those words. I thank you for the people that took the time to speak them rather than think them. And Father, I want to pray healing over those words that have cut and burned and maybe felt like they've defined us, God. Because it is only you who can define us, Father. And your word, oh my goodness, you really like us. So Father, thank you that your word can take over those piercings and those burns. And Father, you can heal them. And I just want to pray special healing on whoever out there right now, Father, who can't get the words out of their head that has been said to them. That, Lord, would you give them a word right now, or a feeling, maybe a sensation in their heart, or warmth in their hands, to tell them that that is a lie, and that you have created them as a masterpiece, as brand new, as a part of who you are, God. And I pray, Lord, that today they would be healed from that word forevermore.